Genesis and chapter 1. Is this on? Okay, let's see. Now is it on? Got it? Okay. Well, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of evolution, and that's evolution in the Bible. It's the basis of all modern thought, evolution is, and we see it as the basis of communism and Nazism and socialism and the New Age movement and humanism. And so whenever we attack evolution, we are taking an axe to the root of the tree. You're not just chopping off limbs. Karl Marx picked up a copy of Origin of Species in 1860, and he said, "This is just what I've been looking for. This is just what I've been looking for. This explains away God." And so that's one of the contributing reasons, I would say perhaps the chief reason, why the 20th century was the bloodiest century in human history. 20 million died in World War I. Between 55 and 60 million died in World War II, and numerous other wars throughout the century of the 20th century, and now these wars are carrying over into the 21st century, and we're laying the, I would not say we're laying the foundation, because I do believe we're already in World War III and have been since 9/11. And it promises to be the most bloody war in all of human history because of the terrible weapons that now exist, that never existed before in all the history of the world. So tonight I'm going to direct your attention to three verses in Genesis in chapter 1 that destroy evolution. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. The first four words in the Bible. And my, how meaningful they are. In the beginning, God. God does not try to argue his existence. He does not go into a long dissertation arguing the fact that he exists and that he created the world. He just kind of puts it out there. He says, "In the beginning, God." You can take it or you can leave it. Kind of like that. In the beginning, God. I would rather start with an all-knowing, all-powerful God than start like the evolutionists do with a suppose, wouldn't you? Almost always, an evolutionist is going to restart his argument by saying, suppose there was a Big Bang. And many evolutionists, of course, believe in the Big Bang or some variation of that such thing. And they'll say, suppose, and suppose a Big Bang happened out in space and the world spins off from that Big Bang and it gradually cools over about 15 billion years. I'm telling you what, I was in the ninth grade when I was in high school, and I never fell for evolution. I know that a lot of people have trouble with this. I never had any trouble with it, whatever. I know that a lot of people do. And I know that some even try to compromise and have their cake and eat it too by trying to believe in theistic evolution, where God created things and then sort of wound it up like a toy, and then it just sort of evolves from there. Now, the Catholic Church started that. I never had any problems with this. To me, it was just a matter of common sense. Life and the world and the earth are so complex. When you just look at it, just look around and say, could this have evolved? It's kind of like taking an IBM typewriter and putting it in your washing machine and washing it for 2 or 3 days, and out comes a computer, laptop at that. It's amazing, simply amazing. But modern thought is based upon evolution. I believe it's all part of the end times. It's definitely an end times teaching, and it is preparing the world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The teaching of evolution did not just start in 1860 with Darwin. It goes back into antiquity. As Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. But it found root in modern man, who has rebelled against God and who is trying to justify himself and explain away God, because if there is no God, then there is no judgment. And if there is no judgment, man can do anything he wants to. He can murder, he can rape, he can steal, he can destroy without any judgment or recompense. So the earth spins off of this Big Bang about 15 billion years old, and of course that stretches your imagination right there. And the evolutionists will call the beginning of all things, or the beginning of the world, they refer to that as the ultimate mystery. The ultimate mystery. Well, it's no mystery to us, is it? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be no mystery to you. The Bible details very clearly here the beginning of all things. In the beginning, God. The second law of thermodynamics, according to Albert Einstein, and he was quite some scientist, and Albert Einstein said that the premier law of science is the second law of thermodynamics. Now, simply the second law of thermodynamics means that all things are wearing out, or all things are degenerating. Whenever this pulpit was brand new, I'm telling you what, it didn't have a scratch on it. It was a very great condition, and then along come some guys, and they move it around, and they put scratches on it, and they beat it up a little bit, and then here comes a chalk artist along, and he puts his old chalky hands on it, and he messes it up some more. It starts degrading. It starts degrading, doesn't it? And you go buy a new automobile, same deal. Comes off the car lot there, man, nice and new, but as you drive it, things start wearing out. Things start degrading. And then after a while, things go along and you get some dents in it. And then after 10 or 12, 15 years or whatever, the paint starts peeling off of it. Second law of thermodynamics. It affects everything. And so that's just exactly opposite from what the evolutionist says. The evolutionist says everything is getting gooder and gooder. I mean, just getting gooder and gooder. And we ourselves are getting gooder and gooder. We're evolving higher and higher. And we're going to evolve one day so high, as the New Ager says, we're going to evolve so high that we're going to be gods ourselves. In fact, there are some so-called evangelists on television now teaching that very same teaching, New Age, that Christians are little gods. Do you have any doubt that Jesus is coming soon? Do you have any doubt? This thing is winding up pretty fast. Not only that, but look at verse 24. the continuity of life. We see the creator of the universe in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and now we're going to see the continuity of life in Genesis 1 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." Everything brings forth after its own kind. Horses give birth to horses. Fish give birth to fish. Rabbits give birth to rabbits. Everything after its own kind. Now, we were out in Montana a number of years ago, and The farmers out there said that they had what they called a beefalo. They had what they called a beefalo. That's where some farmer has taken a cow and a buffalo and mated the two. And the result of the mating of those two, an offspring comes that is called a beefalo. But let me tell you something else. Here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. Here's the rest of the story here. Every beefalo that was ever born was always born sterile and unable to give forth offspring. You farmers know that to be true. You that have mules on the farm, or you have been on a farm where they have mules, every mule that's ever been born is born sterile and unable to give forth offspring, because everyone after its own kind. God established a law here. He established a law. And that law has never been broken. I'm telling you what, there are people right now, as I'm speaking, there are people turning this world upside down. They're crossing every stream. They're climbing every mountain. They're looking under every rock for the missing link. But they'll not find it, because it doesn't exist. Evolution is the biggest lie of modern times, and one of the biggest lies in all of history. Does not exist. In 1912, a skull was found in Piltdown, England. And so in the newspapers around the world in 1912 were these headlines: "The missing link found in Piltdown, England." The missing link has been found. Two guys were watching them dig a pit, and they saw what looked like a skull down the pit. They said, "Hey, stop digging this thing. We're going to get down there and look around." They looked around. They found a skull, and they found some other bones, and they took them back to their laboratory, and they cleaned it all up, and they announced to the world that the Piltdown man, the missing link, had been found in Piltdown, England. That skull went into the British Museum, and it stayed there for almost half a century. 1952. Some fellow says, "Hey, let's take a closer look at the Piltdown man." They took it out of its glass cage. They started looking closely at it. They found that someone had filed down the jawbone, and someone had taken the jawbone of an animal and put up underneath the skull of a man. And he filed the teeth down to make them look more like a human. They painted the whole thing with mahogany stain to make it look old. And so the whole thing was proven to be a hoax. Same way with the Java man. Same way with the Nathandraw man, all proven to be a hoax. And yet in textbooks, in American textbooks and textbooks throughout the world, in fact, evolution is passed off as fact, whereas it is proven to be a hoax. You see these pictures that are displayed in these textbooks that are used to as propaganda to mold the minds of young people and so that they'll accept a lie. Not only that, but we see God's crowning creation in verse 26. Verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so here, God gives man dominion over all the animals. God gives man dominion over all of his creation. And so man is God's crowning creation. It's one thing to create the earth. It's one thing to create trees and rocks and streams and rivers and so forth. But it's another thing to create man. Man is by far so much more complex. I've often wondered how any doctor or any nurse could believe in evolution. Anyone schooled in the complexity of the human body. I've often wondered that. And to their credit, many are not. They are not evolutionists. They see that it just doesn't work out. Man is so complex that he must have a creator. The God's crowning creation. God's crowning creation is man himself. Consider the human body and consider it must have had a masterful designer. Consider the heart. The heart is the world's best built pump. Sometimes it'll beat for well over 100 years without missing a beat. And we have so much heart trouble today, myself included, because we abuse our bodies in one way or another. But God created the heart as the world's best built pump. Or consider the human eye, able to recognize over 8,000 different colors. Whenever a person is looking out into infinity, and through their peripheral vision, or vision coming in from the side, they are able to take in over 1.5 million different things at one time. And all of that travels along the optic nerve at 300 miles an hour into the brain. That is for those who have brains. And by the way, the human brain itself, how marvelous it is. And scientists are telling us that at best, human beings don't use but 15% of our brain. Some of us are not using that much. And so I'm telling you what, God has created a marvelous, marvelous thing in the human body. And the brain actually is like a computer. You know, when you sit down to your laptop and you punch something in and it goes, hunting for something. It's kind of like the human brain's doing. It's going, I don't know the answer to that question. It'll come to me about 2 days later. We think of it, you know. The human brain is actually a computer. Most marvelous computer. And God created it. What about the lungs that breathe oxygen and have its own filtering systems? There are tiny little hairs on the inside of our lungs called cilia. And these tiny little hairs have the mission of filtering out all kinds of particles from the air that we breathe, dust and little things that are floating around in the air. That's the job of cilia. If you smoke more than a year, you don't have any cilia. That's why a smoker will wake up in the morning and they'll go and they'll cough and try to clear their lungs with a cough. They're trying to do that because they have no cilia to clear their lungs and to trap these particles. Here's the good news, though. If a person quits smoking in about a year, those cilia start growing back. Isn't that marvelous? And instead of jet black lungs on the inside from the nicotine of tobacco, that gradually disappears, and their lungs return to a bright pink. In a certain amount, God has created the human body to regenerate itself to a certain extent. That's why a person can be near death and with just a minimum of attention and medical attention, they can be out playing softball in a few months. Because the human body has a marvelous, marvelous ability that God has given us to overcome all kinds of things, all kinds of abuse that happens to our body. There are 75,000 miles of blood vessels that carry blood to over 60 trillion cells in the human body. The crowning creation, man. And I've often just wondered why anyone could fall for this. It's amazing to me, but they do. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 throws some light upon that. Peter says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Remember, evolution is a last days phenomenon. And God is allowing Satan to use evolution to prepare the world for the end times. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. And that's the key words right there. For this they are willingly ignorant. People don't want to believe, and so they don't believe. They willingly are ignorant. Of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This thing's all going to wrap up pretty soon, friend. I'm telling you what, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved before it's eternally too late. God created the world and everything in it. He created you, and as such a person that he created, one day you and I will stand before him. Prepare for that day. Prepare for that day. Every knee shall bow, the Bible says. Every knee shall bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, I'm going to draw for you right now. Hasn't God created a beautiful world? Many of you have been to some of the